It's the WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz, game day edition. We're at the Link in the Pepsi Plaza. Joining us every Thursday at 4 o'clock, and that is right now, is the one and only Mike Lombardi. VSiN Morning Show, the Daily Coach, the GM Shuffle. Mike, how are we feeling?
We're good. We're doing good. Big game tonight. Good game tonight. Huh?
Mm-hmm. You ready? Big game tonight. When we looked at the schedule at the beginning of the year, we did not foresee Thursday night against the Commanders being, you know, for the NFC East at the moment. We didn't see this as being as big a game as it is.
Yeah, well, nobody could. I mean, who could have thought that, you know, the Commanders could make this kind of turnaround, or their young quarterback could play as well as he's playing, but he has, and it's impressive what they've been able to do as a team. You know, they've been able to score in almost every single quarter that they played in. Going into last week's game, they scored in 34 out of the 36 quarters that they played in. I mean, their numbers back up what they're doing. I mean, they're not a fraud. They're very effective. They've been very good in a lot of categories when you break them down, especially offensive. The second-best team in first-half point differential, which is a critical stat. Well, they're the most balanced offense in the NFL in the first half in terms of run and pass. You know, they're the third-best team in the NFL in getting first downs and two downs, which is the most critical. Everybody wants you to execute on third down. The best way to execute on third down is get first downs on second down. Play Canadian football, right? And so they're really good in those areas, and they've played from in front, which has been the key, and I think that's been why they've been so successful.
Mike, if you could have one quarterback for the next 5 years, would you pick Jaden Daniels or Jalen Hurts?
I think I'd pick Daniels. I mean, his deep ball accuracy is really good, but I think you can't dismiss what Jalen's done the last few weeks. Since the bye week, he's played really well. You know, he's overcome the turn. He hasn't turned the ball over. He's been very effective, and he's not trying to play outside the offense. He's playing very effectively within the framework of the offense. And look, you know, against Cleveland, they didn't run the ball that well, but, you know, from that Cleveland game, they rushed for 260 against the Giants, 160 against the Bengals, 237 against Jaguars, and then last week another 180. They've outrushed the more than they did passing. So I think they found out and they figured out what they need to do. Now they've turned the ball over three times the last 2 weeks, but they've had 10 turnovers the last 3 weeks, so they've been very good defensively covering that up.
Yeah, I believe they seemingly found the formula that they want to ride as far as, at least right now. But at some point, do you believe when a team says we're going to try to take Saquon away from you, your confidence level in the passing game? You still have a what's your level of confidence in the passing game with Jalen and these weapons on the outside?
Well, I think it's hard to take Saquon out of the game. I think it's, you got to be really good up front. You got to be really good up front. So far, we haven't seen that. I mean, they haven't had it. I think the lowest rushing game was against the Bucs at 113. I mean, we haven't seen a team really take him out. I think what you got to be able to do is continue to put pressure on Jalen, try to force him to his left. I think that's the recipe. But they played very comfortably within that. I mean, they've been very good at handling and trying to, you know, make explosive plays down the field, and I think that's what he's done a really good job of. I mean, what you need to do is average at 8.4 yards per attempt. That's significantly higher than where he was this time last year, and part of it is because A.J. Brown's back and he's healthy, and they're running the football and they're throwing it up the field. I mean, that's the key, right? Last year, the year they went to the Super Bowl, he averaged 8 yards per attempt. Last year, he was down to 7.2. This year, he's back up to 8.4. And what's the commonality between 22 and 24? They have a legitimate running back in the backfield. Miles Sanders dominated in 22, and now Saquon's dominating 24.
So Nick Sirianni, and, you know, rightly so on some occasions, has gotten a lot of criticism for some of the on-field decisions, for the, you know, for the antics and whatnot. It does seem, though, that the negative – the criticism is a lot larger than the praise. Do you think he is judged fairly publicly as to the job that he's done since he's been here?
I think he puts it really on himself, Spike. I mean, really, he really hurts himself. His cockiness, he makes it hard to root for him. You know, because when he's winning, he becomes not, he's not humble. He's not like, okay, we got this. He kind of is more of a show-off, and I think that more alienates people than he should. I mean, he's done a really good job, but I think sometimes his immaturity creeps into his behavior, and I think that's why he doesn't get enough praise for it. It's his own fault. I mean, really, it is. It's his own fault because sometimes he's tough to root for with the nodding of the head. Look, it's one thing to be confident. It's another thing to be cocky. And I don't think anybody really wants to fall in love with cocky.
The players do seem to really, I know liking him doesn't matter, but do seem to play for him. How much would you put, I guess, a head coach's job as culture versus a head coach's job of X's and O's and decision making?
I think 90% of his job is culture, and it's maintaining the culture. For example, the Eagles are the best team in the National Football League on offense. In one of the most important stats, not a stat that determines winning, but a stat that determines execution and are you practicing and is your pad level very good. It's a stat called rushes and completions. When you add rushes and completions together in a game, the amount of rushing attempts you have added to the amount of completions you have, if you get over 51, your execution is really good. The Eagles lead the league in that category with 54 per game. Okay, that's really good. That's really good. That means your team is executing. The Chiefs are at 54-2. The Eagles are 54-3. That you're in good company when you're there. That's a credit to the head coach. And then defensively, they're the second best team in allowing the least amount of rushes and completions, you know, at 42.3. So the team is executing. The team's really doing the things that they have to do. They look like they've stayed in better shape. Last year, I thought they got out of shape. They weren't able to stay, you know, it looked like they got tired too quickly in the game and they couldn't cover. So I think he's done a better job in that area. But look, all these good head coaches in the league, their heads aren't usually buried in some play sheet. Jim Harbaugh's watching the game. John Harbaugh's watching the game. Mike Tomlin's watching the game. Sean McVay calls plays. Kyle Shanahan calls plays. But they're also watching the game. They're intimately involved in the defense. Guys like Shane Steichen, their head's just buried in a play sheet, and all they do is keep calling plays and wonder why it's not working.
It's one of our former coaches. Shane Steichen.
Yep. So one of the revelations for the Eagles this year has been Zach Bond. Now, one of the positives of a one-year deal is if it doesn't work out, you're not tied to him. One of the negatives is if it does work out, there's a contract to pay for a player that you're relying on. What sort of market do you think Zach Bond gets if he ends up as a free agent, doesn't get extended by the Eagles? Do you think there's a big market for him?
I think anytime a good player hits the market, there's always going to be a market, right? I mean, the league is looking for good players. And there's a lot of teams that don't have any money. They have a ton of money, and they got to spend it on someone. And teams that value, look, when you look at the Chicago Bears, right? I mean, they went ahead after the 22 season, and when they were looking for linebackers, they took Edwards. I mean, they couldn't wait to do it. I mean, they paid him really good, more than the Eagles would have paid him. And then they went ahead and signed Edmonds. So I think, to me, it depends on the philosophy of the defense. You know, are you willing to put money in linebackers? I don't think it's going to change in Philly because of the way Zach Bond's played, because you would say to yourself, look, we found him. We're going to find another one.
Right. Yeah, man. I tell you that. A lot of fans would be disappointed with that. We look at this game tonight. Who do you think it is more important for tonight, Eagles or Washington?
Oh, I think it's really important for Sirianni because I think what we talked about earlier, I think they're the better team. They're playing at home. Now, they haven't covered in six straight games, so we know that. And
yeah,
they
do.
Haven't really done that at home. I think it's important that the Eagles play well because if they don't beat this team, then all of a sudden all the negativity is going to come back on them. And I think they should beat this team. Look, it's not going to be easy. They're a good team. They're slightly a field goal favorite, but they're the better team. The Washington Commanders can't play the run. They're very difficult playing the run. They're not a great defense, but they're resilient. They play hard. You know, they're very in tune. They've got a great culture. Dan Quinn's done a really nice job down there. And their quarterback makes a lot of deep throws. It's going to challenge the Eagles' secondary. Can they cover? Because McLaurin's a really good player. But I think what Fangio can do is take a little bit of what Mike Tomlin's defense did last week. Keep Daniels from running the football. That's the key. You don't want Daniels running for 100 yards in this game.
No, not at all. And this is, the Eagles have not faced a quarterback like Daniels all year long. I mean, I think it'll be a really interesting test for the defense tonight.
It really will be. It's going to be a great opportunity. And, look, this is a good team. So this isn't going to be a walk in the park. But I think in the fourth quarter, the Eagles' dominance in the offensive and defensive line will take over the game.
All right, Mike, we appreciate it every week at 4.
We're not going to talk about that performance. We're not going to talk about that.
Okay. Spike's ducking you yet again.
I'm not ducking him. It's a game day. What do you want to talk about?
I mean, that was embarrassing. Will you admit that?
I don't think it was embarrassing. He looks like that every time. He hasn't played an NBA game in 6 months.
Spike, what's he been doing for the last 2 months?
Exactly.
Not playing NBA games.
He's supposed to be ramping up, Mike.
Not playing NBA games.
What is he ramping up to? What has he been doing? He's done tremendous amounts for the city of Philadelphia, but besides that, what has he been doing for the last 2 months?
I'm telling you, there was no way he was going to look great in his first game back. If he doesn't look great in 2 weeks, then we can have the conversation.
Nobody criticizes this guy. Nobody.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I criticize him. I'm not unrealistic. I knew what I was going to get. He hadn't played in 6 months. If in 2 weeks he
doesn't
stink.
He played in the Olympics.
Right.
Hold on. Hold on.
NBA player making $200 million a year. You're going to tolerate that? If
yes.
Nick Sirianni looked like that, you would be killing him.
Yep.
Well, but definitely. Nick Sirianni doesn't play basketball.
And he's in okay
but
shape.
Nick Sirianni's won way more games and taken his team to further than this guy ever has, and nobody touches him. He's a sacred cow.
Well, no, but that's not true.
It's true.
Can I tell you, Mike,
how can you be
Mike,
this out of
it's
shape,
not
Mike?
True. If what you're saying, look, if your opinion about him is valid, I think is 100% valid. Your opinion that nobody holds him accountable locally is invalid. That there are so many people. First of all, Charles Barkley does it on the national broadcast every time they play. Shaquille O'Neal does it on the national broadcast every time they play. And if I open up the phone lines right now and ask for 100 people's opinion on Joel Embiid, 75% of those 100 people will be negative. The idea that nobody brings this up and nobody holds him accountable, it's just not true.
Well,
I just don't think you can.
In that building, they just rewarded him with $200 million.
Well, but what? But see, this is what we get back to the same question: is what are you going to do? Like, are you gonna?
I wasn't going to extend him. That's what I would do. He's got a contract. He could play it out.
Okay.
I'm not going to give somebody with a bad knee $200 million.
Okay.
That's what I'm not going to do.
But that is the NBA. It's not.
That's
yes,
dumb
it is.
Business. You can call it the NBA. That's stupidity.
Giannis plays 50 games a year and just got a supermax extension. And nobody brings up.
Is in shape. He plays,
but
this
he misses games. Look, he has been hurt every year for the last 3 years in the playoffs. He plays 50 games. Go look at the stats. But nobody brings that up. Nobody brings that up. But he got paid too. These are just facts. I mean, again, if you do not think the way that he played in that game back is acceptable, I would accept that. I understand and I see where you're coming from with that. I was just not surprised by it. However, the idea that the Sixers
I wasn't
did
surprised either because I was told by somebody that he was out of shape. I told you that the other day. I've known he's out of shape. He's the only guy who's been ramping up, but he's not in shape.
My point
that's
to
a
you,
wonderful thing to do.
My point to you is that they handled it no differently than any other NBA team would handle it.
Oh, Pat Riley wouldn't handle it that way. There's no
okay,
way.
And Pat Riley's team stinks. And by the way, Jimmy Butler is out there campaigning for a contract they don't want to give him. Jimmy Butler didn't play in 30 regular season games last year because he didn't feel like it. In the games that he did play, hold on, in the games that he did play, but he's 36, you know? And in the games that he did play.
This guy might be, whatever age he is, add 5 years to it.
Okay. The Miami Heat and Pat Riley get a lot of criticism and have done a lot of nothing since LeBron left. And by the way, they ran out of town. Pat Riley and his giant ego ran the second best player in NBA history out of town. Yeah, and that's a fact.
You guys live in delusional world. You
no,
really
it's
do.
A fact. Is it a fact that they had LeBron James and LeBron James left as a free agent? He left Miami. You tell me what young millionaire wants to leave Miami to go live in Cleveland, and it was because of Pat Riley. But you don't want to. That's true, too. They both can be true.
I'd take Pat Riley 1,000 times to run the 76ers anytime you want.
Okay.
Anytime you want.
Okay, and they can keep with their 8 and 9 seeds with Josh Richardson and Tyler Hero and the rest of their band of tryhards that they already have, that they always have. And their overrated coach.
They wouldn't be giving $200 million away to a guy who's never going to see it. So
and they're still not getting anywhere. All right. There. Are you happy?
Good luck tonight.
All right. I love you, Mike. See you, man. There he is, Mike Lombardi.
Yes.
Got his pound of flesh.
Yep.
What?
I enjoyed that.
Okay, all right.
That was good.
I was thinking about something on the Eagles.
Yeah.
To get it back to the main
get back
topic.
To the birds.
Yeah. And and like I'm curious your thoughts on this because you played the game.
Yeah, thank you.
Hurts in his career, now he had different personnel. He has different personnel now in Washington, but he didn't do great against a Dan Quinn-led Cowboys defense.
Oh yeah,
for the last couple of years. I mean, because the stat was he would go down there and he wouldn't play very well.
Sure, yeah.
And now Dan Quinn's coming
right here.
Now it's different personnel. He doesn't have Micah. Doesn't have DeMarcus Lawrence.
But still, there's a formula that he used.
Yes.
Sure. And hell, you got Brian Johnson over there.
Knows him well.
Who knows Jalen very intimately. So, I think that's what keeps the game close tonight. I don't necessarily see this as a blowout. I certainly don't, and I'll give my score later. But I wouldn't be surprised if this is a touchdown game.
No, I mean, they're a good team.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at that. And quite frankly, I mean, listen, I like Jalen, but I also have a realistic, I believe, like that.
That was beautiful.
I believe.
Save that audio buzz.
I can hold it. I don't have a dump button or a cough button over here. I had to roll out of there. So what was I saying?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Okay. Was that you or me?
No, that was me. That one was me. That like you. I could do that on command, actually.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say that sounded it.
Yeah, I can burp on command. I just wanted you to know.
Oh my! This is where we're at right now. Now you started too.
Do you remember what you were going to say?
I have no idea what I was going to say.
Should we go to Rios then?
Yes,
get
yes.
us pumped up. All right. 215-592-9494.
I didn't expect that to break out. Yeah.
Rios in North Philly. You're on WIP. What's up, Rios?
What's going on, Hard Chargers?
What's up, Rios?
Hey, y'all psyching me out with all the laughing. I'm trying to be
sorry.
I'm trying to be pissed off right now. Can I say something real quick? Do I got a little time to say something before I get into it?
Yeah, sure.
Well, how long?
Okay, it ain't long. Come on. Look, first of all, I'd just like to say shout out to everybody who hits me up on the DMs, you know, showing love because what I say in the speeches. And one thing, Rios is for the kids. And shout out to Jack Fritz. He put me on to somebody, and somebody's kid who's his birthday is today. His name is Ian. His birthday is today, and he loves Blood on the Grass.
Oh, so yeah.
Shout out to him.
As a 4-year old, yes.
He's four years old. The kids love me, and his dad is preparing them. But with that being said, and hey, yo, Buzz, hit the music.
Yes. Good job,
Thursday
Buzz.
Thursday Night Football. All eyes on us, you know what I mean? All over the world, the memories of November 12th, 1990 has a smell in the air. The body bag game, nothing like no other. You talk about blood being drenched into our ground at the vet? Shoot, you talk about violence gets results? Then there it is, gentlemen. Now, it's that time in the season to let loose. Get ugly, get funky, get disrespectful, and let the monster, the warrior, the soldier out, and give Washington what they deserve since they're coming into our city, wanting to make themselves at home, trying to lay their heads comfortably in our bed while they ask for it, and tonight is chaos in the concrete jungle. Full battle rattle time. Old school rivalry in the NFC East. The weather has turned and you can't avoid the pain. But we will unleash the pain. Smile at the pain. Throw the bird at the pain. And keep on hard charging forward with zero foxtrot to give. Nothing else matters. The work has been put in. The women and children have been secured. The switch has flipped, and daddy has to go. Now turn in to that savage. Time to give up the body and put blood on the grass. Conquering and survival is the mission. No regrets, no mercy, no care in the world. This is ours. Ain't no time to sucker up. It's holiday season, but men, that ain't for us. We go through the pain and suffering, blood, sweat, and tears to create for our family. Only the strong survive, and we're living for total domination. So get the strap, lock and load. We are who we are, possessed with violence to be the best team around. But we got to take them to our town tonight. What town is that, Ike?
Pound Town!
Say it with your neck roll!
Pound Town!
Philadelphia! Everybody, in your car, at your home, at work, 94.1 WIP with a loud and thunderous sound. What makes the grass grow?
Blood!
Again!
Blood!
Again!
Blood!
Let the violence be with you all, because violence gets results. We are natural born killers and we body bagging. Bring the pain to your frame, have your body lagging. Lay you out, soul gone, numerous toe tagging. Fly, Eagles, fly, I'll be always bragging. E-S-G-L-E-S-Eagles, our Rios from North Philly, Hunter Park, the Sergeant Major of Philly. You cannot threaten me with death. When I already met the mother, these suckers.
Wow.
For the kids.
Man.
For the children. 4 years old.
I tell you.
Blood
yeah.
grass.
4 year old kid screaming Pound Town in blood.
Well, it's only one Rios, man.
There is only one Rios. The world could not handle a second
Someone
Rios.
From the Eagles has to get him in there for one
pregame season. Yeah. They'll run through the wall. Yes. They'll be terrified.
Don't imagine what that parking lot is looking like over there if they're listening to Rios
yep.
right there. They're over there beating the hell out of each other getting ready for the game.
So a very special top five at five is coming up at 5 o'clock
yep.
where Jack challenges Elliot in a way that Elliot has never been challenged.
Yep.
We also have Tommy down the shore joining us. And also there is one man responsible for producing a Philly special Christmas. It is the drummer of War on Drugs, Charlie Hall, who gets them to sing like angels. And Charlie will join us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.